Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text this morning is the first lesson for Christ the King Sunday, Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning with the 10th verse, and then we skip and see the high point of the chapter, verses 23 and 24. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of God. Dear friends in Christ, we all need shepherding. Sheep are the most helpless and defenseless of animals. They tend to wander from the flock and are beset on all sides with all kinds of dangers, especially in the open stretches on the mountainsides and the deep ravines. Sheep show that they need shepherding. We Christians are like sheep. We Christians tend to have our wandering moments, our erring sins. We cannot by our own power and strength remain with the good shepherd, you see. And we have three master enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, who besiege us, who would like us to have us lodged between their jaws, who seek to destroy our souls. What is our defense? I mean, they're so powerful that we stand defenseless. If you think you can take on the unbelieving world on your own, it's not going to happen. You think you can win this inner struggle against this inner sinner, this sinful nature within on your own? It's not going to happen. You think you're some match for the devil? We need a shepherd. We all need good shepherding. We live in a world where people love to look to the king, to the government, to the Supreme Court justice, the senator, what have you, to look after us with care. Do I need to explain how misguided that really is? We've got the king. The king who leads with a shepherd's care. He seeks me through thick and thin, and he tends me like no other. See, these ancient Israelites who first heard the words of Ezekiel, really for all intents and purposes, from worldly eyes, had met their historical end. It was the end of Hebrew history. Jerusalem was destroyed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being pushed into a fiery furnace. Daniel was telling dreams to the king of a new empire. And there was no earthly government that was out to lead the Hebrews with a shepherd's care, or really with any sort of care for that matter. They needed a shepherd because they couldn't trust their earthly government to protect them and take care of them. And as you read verse 10, you see this striking statement about shepherds who tend themselves, not the sheep. The earthly shepherds tend themselves. And the fact that they had the Hebrews lodged between their jaws. That's what life was like for these Hebrews. They were mutton. They were raw meat for the eating. They were easy prey. Fresh victims for abuse. There wasn't a king in this green-blue ball that might possibly care. They goofed it all up. This goes all the way back to the part where they couldn't follow. They couldn't follow their own good king. They couldn't follow their Lord. They're not too different than any sinner of any time, are they? They knew how to mess up at the following part, and as it turns out, so do you and I. We look around at the world and we say, well, end times. It's a good thing to remind ourselves, remind each other. This is the end times. This isn't how it's supposed to be. Not the way God established things in the Garden of Eden. It's not the way things are going to be for us in eternity. End times. But do we find ourselves still following in the wrong paths, still straying like sheep, still sinning, still defying authority, even if it's just a word or insult for those in authority? And maybe the real problem we have with not following is that we don't trust the good shepherd to lead us with a shepherd's care. I know that's true for me. I know that's what sin is a distrust in the good shepherd. We need shepherding badly. And we need it with a shepherd who leads with so much care. And one beautiful thing about our text this morning in Ezekiel that struck me was I was used to one Hebrew word for seeking, but not the other. And they were both repeated. Seek and search. Who would seek and search for me? For us sinners? Who would do that? And through what would this shepherd seek and search? Would he seek and search through brambles and brushes, through thistles and thorns? Would a good shepherd seek and search for you and for me on mountainsides, in deep valleys, in the darkness, in the shadow of death? Would he seek for me through human flesh and pointed nails? Would the good shepherd seek for me through enemies who would cause riots over the name of Christ and through betraying friends who scatter? Would the good shepherd seek for me through the wood of the cross and search for me through life and death? Would he seek and search under the weight of all of our sins? And the answer to all those questions is, of course, as you know, believer, a resounding yes. This is our good shepherd. Through all of these things, he seeks and searches, he restores, he heals, he binds up, and he cares. He did it for the Hebrews who were scattered. Eventually a remnant would be brought back. He does it for the scattered Hebrews of faith in our end times, those like you and me, who know the message isn't just for one people, who knows the shepherd isn't just for the Jews, it's for any who might put their trust in him and know their good shepherd who cares. He promises that return. He promises to seek and search for us, not only on the cross, but even now, when we stray. In 2004, there was a really nasty tsunami in the Indian Ocean. Remember that hitting Indonesia? 275,000 lives were lost when that water splashed ashore. Of course, there's a lot of islands, a lot of people susceptible to a great big tsunami wave. One person who was lost was a young girl named Radhatil Jana. Radhatil Jana, the last she saw of her family was on some wreckage till the waves washed her away with her older brother. She was 4 years old. In 2014, 10 years later, Radhatil had an uncle who walked past a young woman who seemed to look like his niece, Radhatil, on an island offshore. Well, as it turns out, apparently this young girl had been picked up out of the water and raised on a different island, and 10 years later was reunited with her family. This one's just one story of many. When parents who are looking for their children never give up hope. They still have hope to find the older brother. Parents who are searching for their children never give up hope. How much more the good shepherd? He never gives up hope. He's constantly searching for you because he never has less than care for you. Because by faith alone, you are his. Because by the waters of baptism, he's brought you into his family. Because you are his own dear child. The good shepherd seeks and searches for you in this way. What's striking about our lesson for today, our sermon text, in the whole thing, you can't find the word king in this text for Christ the King Sunday. It doesn't show up. But the name David does, which is really, for the Hebrews, synonymous with good king, the best king, with the king at the greatest time of Israel's history in Judah. By the time Ezekiel wrote this, though, King David was dead for 400 years. And yet, since the time of David, they had called their kings shepherds. One down the line after the other, the king was also a shepherd. They were to be kings with a shepherd concern and care for their people. But sadly, throughout the line of David in the southern kingdom, as well as the dynasties of the broken kingdom in the north, there really was hardly a man who would lead the people like a shepherd in the ways of the Lord. They were failed kings because they were failed shepherds. And so God made a promise. God made a promise already at the time of David that he renews here in the time of Ezekiel, that he would send a king. Still through this line, still through the dynasty of David, still this messianic line, there would be the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, who would come and who would lead the people like a shepherd would, like a king should. And instead of the word king, here, the word used for him was David, because this was to be David's greater son, a return to the greatest king the Hebrews ever knew. And I want you to see something in our text. One more thing. See that it is God himself who does this. The shepherd who is king is also God, repeating the word I or myself time and again. You don't always get this in Hebrew language because you don't have to use the word I when you're using a verb for I. It's a little different kind of language, but in each instance, in some of these sentences, God pulls it out and makes it very emphatic, I myself. Listen to it again. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I, the Lord, will do it. I, the Lord, will be their God. I, the Lord, have spoken. Well, that's authority. I, the Lord, speaks with authority because I, the Lord, is the King of Kings and the Good Shepherd. To the bruised, to the troubled, to the perplexed, who comes to say he himself shall gently lead you? But the king. I don't think a single American president would say that to people in this room. I might be wrong, but when was the last time your senator or your president visited you personally to lead you with a care like no other? And you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one true God of all the universe, telling you he himself will do this as he makes his promises. He heals the bruised. The king himself heals the bruised. He binds up your bruises. He restores the souls of those who are bruised. He makes you whole. The troubled he himself quiets. He invites them to come to him and he will give you rest. The perplexed he himself shows the way. How did he do this? Well, the true King of Kings stepped into time and space so that he could teach us, so he could show us the way, tell us what was truly right and what was truly wrong, because that's often a very big question. What is right and what is wrong? The King of Kings tells us, and so he leads us, and he pioneers the path forward, because he was Jesus Christ, to do everything by the law perfectly in our place as our perfect substitute with each good thing he did and with each evil thing that he did not do. He taught us, he showed us the prettiest health care you've ever seen when he healed those who were sick and who were suffering, those who couldn't walk, those who couldn't speak or hear. He showed us he could do it. He showed us what he will do in eternity. He showed the power to break death and bring to heaven. This means so much to you and to me. This removes every fear in our heart. It removed the fears of the Hebrews in exile. It was true wherever they were that the great king would be with them, that he would lead them through hills, through mountainsides, through valleys, to bring them back home, through the plains, through the ravines, through the valley of the shadow of death, from those dungeons in Babylon. So it's true for New Testament Christians like you and me. And he promises himself to lead through hospital beds. He promises to lead through Thanksgiving travel. He promises to lead through disease and sickness. He promises, he himself, the king himself, promises to be there in your lonely times when everyone else is celebrating Thanksgiving dinner and you can't. Or maybe when Thanksgiving dinner is canceled. He promises to lead. And don't forget about that in the joyous times too. If there is a Thanksgiving dinner, or if you are reminded, it's still time to give thanks to the Lord and be joyful. because you still have these things that no one can take away from you. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation. They can't be ripped away from any enemies, from any sickness, from any government, from any world power, not even from the devil himself. This is our great shepherd king. Truly he cares, or he would just be like some other king. And truly he leads, or he wouldn't really be a shepherd. Now you know. You know you have a great shepherd king who will lead you. He's led us through another church year. He'll lead you into life everlasting, where there will be no more wandering, only following, only adoring, only reuniting with those that we loved and lost and are now with him. For those in Jesus Christ, little sheep, are never truly lost. In the name of the King himself, Jesus Christ, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. Amen.
We give thanks to you, O Christ, our Shepherd King, because you have searched for us and found us. Lead us to the green pastures and quiet waters of your saving love, so that we may enjoy peace and comfort for our souls. Heal our hearts when they're broken with sin and guilt. Strengthen us when we are weak. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Come with your mighty power to break and defeat every evil plan and purpose of the devil, of the ungodly influences and ideas of the unbelieving world, and of our own sinful nature. Use your power to calm the unrest among nations and peoples, so that your kingdom may spread and grow. Strengthen our confidence in knowing that your kingdom will never be destroyed. O Christ, our King, you have supremacy over all. You will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. You have destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Reign in our hearts, that we may serve you more faithfully and speak more boldly to others of your saving love. Praise be to the Lord God, who alone does marvelous deeds. Lord of love, we remember in our prayers the family of Jerry Bramer, Marilyn Morris's brother, who has been taken from them by death. We ask that you would give them the strength they need in this time of grief, and comfort them with the precious assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. May this death remind us all of how quickly our lives here on earth come to an end. Lead us all to use the time you have given us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word. When you summon us, may we be found in sincere repentance and steadfast faith, prepared to stand before your judgment seat through the merits and righteousness of Jesus the Savior. Lord, we commend into your care Hannah Furman.